about this afternoon, four tips or four steps to answered prayer. Four simple steps to answered prayer. And at no particular place we're going to go. We'll be going first off to John 16, verses 23 and 24. Then we'll be in Matthew, 7th chapter. So I just Robbie has those. He'll be putting them up here in a little bit. But our prayer life, starting off, should be based upon the Word of God. Now that leads to another question, or another something to say, is that you got to read the Word of God and study the Word of God to know how to pray the Word of God and how to make your prayers go along with the Word of God. It's important that we know what God says concerning us and about healing and different areas of need in our lives. We all have different areas, and God's not silent on any of them. We may think He is, and sometimes we ask for things and we don't get them. The Bible says we ask it amiss. Sometimes we're asking for things that really God knows we don't need, so we don't answer that particular prayer. He may answer it, but it's no. But there's some steps to answered prayer. And so we really need to base our prayer upon the Word of God. Last Sunday, for example, and y'all may not have noticed it, and it may not have made you a lick of difference, but we started that closing prayer of the last service, or it might have been the first service. I started praying the Word of God, and the Word of God started coming to mind. I didn't know all the words that I wanted to pray. I started off in the Psalms, started praying what the Psalms said about us. We'd been reading at that time. And then another scripture came to mind, so I flipped over there real quick to it, and I just started praying, just reading the Word there, and praying what that Word said about us. I think it's over in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians or something in there. And I started praying that, and the anointing of the Lord came into this place. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but we were praying. I was praying the Word of God over you. I don't do that all the time, but man, what a difference. What a difference it made in our prayer, in the move of the Spirit of God, when I started praying the Word of God over us, over this church. It made a big difference, and it should have impacted you spiritually for the week, because you got the blessings of God from the Word of God. Some of it was the words of Apostle Paul, his blessings on the church, and I just used his words and blessed you like he would have blessed you if he had been here. And it was anointed. It wasn't pastor being so anointed. It was the Word of God that's anointed. And the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, came down in here and blessed what we were doing. And it did that to encourage you. So there's some steps to answered prayer. And you can practice these in your private prayer time. I trust you have private prayer time. I know for a fact from experience that it sometimes is difficult to make time to pray. There's so many distractions, and I have to make myself pray. The devil will give you, you say, well, preacher, you don't, I have to bring my flesh into agreement with the Word of God, where it says man ought always to pray and not faint. 1 Thessalonians 5, where it says pray always. I have to bring myself into subjection to the Word of God and pray. So even in your private prayer time, you need to use the Word of God to pray so that you can pray the perfect will of God. That's His will in His Word. And so there's some steps, like I say, that we can take. And so we want to encourage you, when you pray, to put some of these steps, these things, into practice so that you can see and have an effective prayer life, so that your prayer life will be effective, and so that you will see prayers answered. We all want answered prayer. And I found out when you take time to pray and just submit yourself to God, humble yourself before Him, the mighty hand of God, God never fails to show up. If you'll just humbly pray, bow your heart and your knee to Him, He will show up. I know there's times it's hard and it's difficult, and there's times I prayed when I didn't feel a thing. I'd a lot rather pray when I feel something. But I prayed when I didn't feel nothing, but I knew I needed to pray. Well, I felt it or not, I had to get on my knees and pray. And so I believe if we begin to do this, we'll see some prayers answered. And so number one is be specific and stand on God's word. Be specific about what you need. Sometimes, and I know that the word says God knows what you need before you ask. That's no doubt about that. But he wants you to ask. He wants you to decide what you want according to Scripture, find it in the Scripture, and then ask him for it. So, well, preacher, I don't know. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm taking this teaching from Kenneth E. Hagin. And you may not like Kenneth E. Hagin. You may think he's a devil. But I'm going to tell you something. If my Pentecostal Church of God would have grasped hold of some of the teachings of Kenneth Hagin 35, 40 years ago, we would see a different denomination today. We'd have more power. We would have seen more miracles. Instead of fighting these guys and call them cruisomatics, and we had understood that this was some teaching from the Word of God that would benefit our spirit, we would have been much further along spiritually as a denomination than what we are today. Now, we've changed a lot, and we have come around, so to speak, to this timely teaching, which is from the Word of God, and so it's helping us today. But I'm just telling you, I read this article, and I thought, I've got to share that with my church. And he's dead, been dead several years now, but his teaching is alive because it's the Word of God. I've listened to him a lot on the radio, and I don't care much for his son, but I love to hear Kenneth E. Hagin preach or teach. There's something about it that just moves me, and it's always right on. Right on. This is a converted Baptist who was on his deathbed, and God raised him up and healed him when he was a teenager. Changed his life dramatically, and then gave him a word to share. And I wish we had shared it sooner. I really do. But we ran from guys like this. We were told they were of the devil. They weren't of the devil. We were resistant to the Spirit of God. So there's the first off is ask. Be specific and stand on God's word. Decide what you want from God. We're talking about the will of God. We're not talking about just heaping on yourself riches or just things you want. We're talking about praying scripturally. Find out what the will of God is and asking God, you know, for that specific thing. There's scripture promises. There are scripture promises in the Word of God. You need to pray for them. God, this is what your Word says. This is what it says concerning me. This is what I want. I want that. I want that power. I want that gift. I want to be that person. And it'll change you, folks. It'll change you. You know, some people pray and you say, what do you need? I don't know. I don't know what I need. How do I know how to pray with you? How do I know how to stand in agreement with you if you don't even know what you want? You don't know whether you need healing. You don't know whether you need deliverance. You don't know whether you need that financial need met. You just, I don't know, just pray God that you, God just do what he needs. Well, that's all good and fine, and there's times that's where we get to that place of desperation. I don't know really what I need. I just want God. That's okay, but there's times you need to know what you want. How would you feel? You go to the grocery store, Sister Christina, and you walk in the grocery store, and you get the grocery cart, and you head down the aisle. What are you going to buy, Christina? I don't know. Just whatever. I don't know what I'm going to get. Just whatever jumps in the cart, that's what I'll buy. What are you going to get? When you get back to the front of that store, run every aisle. You get off 30 aisles, you get back to the front of the store, and you go up to checkout. They're going to look at you and say, is there something we can help you with? Well, I want to check out. Well, there's nothing in there. Well, I know God's going to put something in. I know something's going to be in there. Well, no, you got to be specific. That's kind of how we go with our prayer life sometimes. We don't ask God anything. We say, God, whatever. Well, God wants us to be specific. More times than not, ask what the Word of God says, and you'll get what you ask for. You'll get it. And so we pray, and we don't know what we want. So we don't buy anything, but something's wrong with it. If you go to a grocery store to buy something, you don't even take a list, and you don't buy nothing. That's just silly. You do that a few times, they're probably going to have security guards follow you because they're going to assume you're putting something in your under your coat or in your purse, in that baggy clothing you got on. They're going to assume you're stealing something from them if you don't go buy something. Well, God don't operate that way. And you ain't going to steal nothing from God. But you have not because you ask not. So we got to sometimes know what we want when we get there and be definite about it. That's first step. God, this is what your word says, and that's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I need. And you know what? God will give you what you ask for if you'll be specific in your prayer. We're not specific enough. We just, you know, sometimes we come up, well, we don't want to even say what the illness is. Well, I'm just sick. Well, what specifically do you need from God? Do you need your head fixed? Do you need your heart fixed? Do you need your leg fixed? What do you need God to do? What do you need? What kind of healing do you need? Is your finances in shambles? Well, that's what you tell us. Don't say, well, it's got a private need. Don't want nobody to know, only me and God. Well, okay, that's good. Then if you just want you and God to know, be specific in your private prayer time and say, God, I didn't want everybody to know that I'm hurting financially, but this is my need. And this is what your word says. And God, I've been a faithful giver. And so since I've been a faithful giver and I've tithed faithfully, your word says that you'll open the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing. Be not room enough to receive it. And Lord, I need to receive it now. That's what your word says. Your word says, but my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, I need my need met. You know I have rent due. That's specific, right? That's a need you have. Sometimes we're embarrassed. We don't want everybody to know, but God already knows. And God says, if you'll be specific, I'll answer it. Pray according to my word. I pray that way a lot. I pray, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I don't know about all the needs of the church sometime. And Lord, you've been really good to us for the past 24 years, 25 years. But Lord, your word says that you shall supply all of my need. You're going to take care of me and my wife and my family. You're going to take care of this church. I trust you. And Lord, that's our need. We need you to supply our need. And so he does. We are blessed. You know, we just bought $2,000 worth of chairs, and now we've already got that money replenished. So $5,000 worth of peanut brittle, it's in the bank. It was hard work, but it's in the bank. That's God through the efforts of several people, but God supplying need. We already got money back in the bank. Amen. Isn't that great? Thought we was going to have a couple $1,000 extra off of this land deal, and we've got almost $6,000 extra. $5,800 extra. Isn't that wonderful? Replenished our, we got enough money to pay the van off if we want to. Isn't that wonderful? God's good. We were down to very little in the bank, and we got all this money back in the bank again. Isn't that wonderful? That's how God works. But we had to be specific. Number two, you must, first off, be specific and stand on God's promises. Secondly, you must ask God for what you want. I already kind of touched on that, but you got to ask God for what you want. Ask him for the things you want and believe that you receive them. I know he knows what you have need of before you ask. Matthew 6:32 says that. But my heavenly Father, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He knows you have need of food. He knows you have need of clothing. He knows you have need of transportation and housing. And he knows you need a friend. He knows, you know, whatever it is you might need. He knows it. But you need to be specific. Father, I'm lonely. I need a friend. He'll give you a friend. He's already a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But you got to be specific of what you want. You need to ask for what you need. I know this is hard for us Pentecostals to grasp hold of because it seems like we're going to name it and grab it and blab it and grab it. Well, that's not what we're just going by the word of God. And God, if you have a need, ask God. Say, God, this is what I need. We're not asking for riches and asking for glory and asking for, you know, things that's unbiblical or things to heap into ourselves, unto our flesh. We're asking for specific things that we need in our walk with him. And he wants to supply those things. I know we're in turbulent times. I know all around us there's bad things going on. I mean, France got hit by a terrorist attack now. It's bad around the world. We know that. We know something bad could happen in the United States at any moment. We know that. We know another plane could go down at any time. It could happen. But I'm not going to live my life in fear. I'm going to live my life believing God. And if I live my life believing God, no matter what happens to me, it'll work out for the good. If I die in an airline attack and I crash into the Atlantic Ocean, it ain't going to happen very soon because I ain't going on no plane for a while. But say I was to die in a plane crash, and I'm a Christian, I still stand on that word, all things work together for the good to them that love God, to those called according to His purpose. It was my time to go. My race was finished. My race was won. I'm in the presence of the Lord. Well, why would you cry about that? You understand? So there's some things to ask for. We want to know that He will automatically do whatever is best to say that we're going to leave it up to God, and He'll do whatever is best for us is really unscriptural. We say, well, God knows. He'll do what's best for me. Well, you hadn't asked Him for nothing. You hadn't told Him your need. Now, He knows what your need is, but He's waiting on you to recognize that He is the author and finisher of your faith. He's waiting on you to say, God, I know You can do it. I know that I know that I know that I know that I know You're going to do it for me. So look at John 16, verse 23. It says this, and in that day you shall ask Me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in My name, He will give it. When you ask in His name, Jesus' name, the Father will do it. Hitherto you have asked nothing in My name. Ask and you shall receive it, that your joy may be full. Ask and you shall receive it, that your joy may be full. What's that? Jesus wants us as Christians to walk this, to run this race, to be on this journey full of joy. And you can't do it if you're sick all the time. You can't do it if you're in need all the time. You can't do it if your life is in shambles. And God's saying, if you'll ask according to My will, I'm going to work these things out. Now, all of us have turmoil in our lives. All of us face sickness at times. All of us face death. All of us face all the same stuff. But that doesn't mean we can't walk through this life full of joy, knowing that God will answer our prayer and give us not only what we want, but He'll give us what we need. Not only what we need, but what we want. When we ask scripturally and according to His word. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does this make sense? He wants you to be blessed. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. It says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh, receive it. And he that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it is opened. So what's that telling us? You got to ask. You got to seek. You got to knock. You got to let God know. God, this is what's in Your word. God, this is what I need. I'm asking. I'm seeking it. I'm knocking on Your door. And I'm expecting. I'm expecting it. Bible says in Mark 11:24, and I read this last week to you. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall never get them. I think you can read it off the wall. And you shall have them. We got to learn to ask according to the will of God, and then believe that we receive. And I know it's difficult to get wrap your mind around this. It really is sometimes, because you've seen things, you've asked things, and it didn't come to pass. So now you're wondering, well, pastor says we can do this, but I tried it one time. It didn't work. Well, did it not work, or did God just have a different plan? Did it not work, or God just knew what was best, and He worked it out? All things work together for the good to those that love God. I know it's difficult when you lose a loved one, and you think, well, I prayed that they wouldn't die. I know it's hard. Been there, done that. Probably do it again one day. If I live long enough, I'll do it again. If I live long enough, my kids going to have to face that one of these days. You know, they're going to have to. I hope they weep over me. Then I hope they celebrate my home going. Amen. Don't you? I even hope some of y'all cry about it. Or probably cry tears of joy. Thank God He's gone. But we got number three, we got to be positive. Be positive in your thinking. We got a lot of negative thinking in the church. A lot of negative people. They never see the good in nothing. If it's raining, it's going to be muddy. If the sun's shining, it's too hot. When it's cold, it's just too stinking cold. Warms up, well, I wish it's too hot now. I mean, they're never satisfied, nothing. You fix them a good meal, that meat's tough. You know, first one thing or another. Never satisfied with nothing. Church is too hot or the church is too cold. The music's too loud or it's not loud enough. Preaching's good or it ain't good enough. Never satisfied with nothing. Look at them sitting over there. Look at these people. Look at all these people sitting around with their arms folded today. What's wrong with them? They ought to have them up in the air just shouting, praising God. Besides that, what are y'all looking at me for? Every stinking one of you is looking at me, except Ryan. What you looking at? That's how some people's attitude is. You look at them and smile. What you looking at? What's wrong with you? Nothing wrong with me. You got a booger hanging out your nose. That's what you are telling. You got something green in your teeth. Ain't nothing wrong with me. You just got an attitude. We're not positive about nothing. We need to be more positive. Especially concerning our prayer. We need to affirm that third step is to let every thought affirm what you prayed for. Don't get negative about what you prayed for. Well, God ain't going to do it for me. Well, nothing ever works out. Have you heard that? Nothing ever works out for me. How you doing? I'm all right. How's your job? Yeah, it's a job. Won't believe what they did to me now. I got to work from 7 to 5:30. You know, we had to fight all that traffic. Come on now, and I'm not being picking on any one person. I'm just telling you, sometimes we find the negative in everything. Not instead, I'm glad I have a job, and it looks like I'm going to have that job till the day I retire. I'm glad I'm making this amount of money per hour. I never thought I would again. I'm glad that God is taking care. We got to be positive. I prayed that God would give me a job, and you know what? I got a job. I prayed that I'd get a little bit better car. You know what? I got me another car. God knew I needed a better car to drive to work. He supplied it. Instead of, well, all I got's an old Hyundai. Pretty nice Hyundais out there right now, aren't they? All I got's me is a 1956 Chevy. I'd like to have a 1956 Chevy that'd run right now. I had one time. I'd like to have it back. You know, all I got's that old clunker. It's paid for, though, isn't it? Thank God it's paid for. My truck's 10 years old now. I'm feeling sorry for myself. My wife don't feel a bit sorry for me. I got a hole in the seat. Go get it fixed, goofball. Be positive. Yeah, I got a hole in my seat in my truck, but I can get it fixed. And God's going to supply me the money to get it fixed. You understand? Don't let failure for your prayers get in your mind. Don't let failure be a part of your vocabulary when you're praying the will of God. Don't say, God's not going to do it for me. Say, I know God's going to move for me. I know He's going to move. I'm not going to doubt it. I believe God's going to do it. Sometimes the old devil tries to put words in your mind. He tries to put thoughts in your heart. He tries to persuade you that God's not. Well, the Bible says in James 4:7, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. I think that right before that it says, never mind, I can't remember what it says now. Is it on? Thanks, Robbie. There you know, go. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. That was the part I couldn't come up with all of a sudden. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So you're submitting to the Word of God, declaring this is what God says, and you're saying, devil, you're a liar, and you can't touch it. Yeah, but you're going down. Devil, you're a liar. I ain't losing nothing. Because God said. This is what God said. So don't let doubt come into your mind. That's of the devil. Have you ever doubted that God would do it? Have you ever done that? Well, I believe He will, but I don't know. That's doubt. I believe He will, but I'm not sure. You're doubting. Might as well just hang it up. You just said, God, you can't. Yes, He can. Say, I know He will. I don't know when, but I know he will. Do you understand the difference? You can be, you know, like that. God, I don't know when you're going to do it, but I know you're going to do it. I don't know how, but I know who can. And believe God for it. Take him at his word. Number three. Number four, guard your mind. Be positive in your thinking and guard your mind. Guard against every evil thought that comes into your mind to try to make you doubt the word of God. He's a master at his craft. We might as well give him credit where credit's due. He's a master at his craft. But he can't outdo God. He might outdo us if we get our minds off of God. We don't submit ourselves to God. We stop resisting him. But he cannot infiltrate your mind if you do not allow him to. Guard your mind, guard your thoughts against every evil thought that Satan would place in your mind. There's some things going to run through your mind. Guard it. Put the gate up. You know, some things you can't prevent from getting in there, but you don't have to give place to it. Say, drive it out. Say, that's not of God. I don't receive it. Get out of here. Devil, I resist you. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You get out of my mind. I don't receive that thought. Sort of like a bird. You know, you've heard this more than once, but bird flies over. You may not prevent it from landing in your hair, but you don't let it stay there. I haven't had very many birds try to hang in my hair, have you? But if it was, you wouldn't let it stay there, would you? You would shoo it away. If it kept coming back, you'd find a way to make sure it didn't come back. Wouldn't you? But we don't do that. We give place to the devil. He comes, lands on our shoulder like that little evil angel, and we lean over and say, yeah, what you got to say? Come on now. We do. You know you do sometime. The Bible says, guard your mind. Don't let the devil get in there. Amen? So our thoughts are governed by observation, association, and teaching. So this step is closely associated with step number three. We are to cast down, 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. It says we are to cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Every thought. Have you ever been praying, thoughts enter your mind? And I've done this, and thoughts are in my mind. Oh, I cast you down today. That is against God. I don't receive that. I cast you out. I cast you down. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I will not give place to that thought. You ever been praying something evil comes through your mind? That's the devil trying to distract you. Or you're even praying and something comes in your mind that you need to do. And it's a legitimate thing that you need to go do. But the devil's placing it there to try to distract you from your primary purpose in seeking God. That's all he's trying to do, distract you. Get your mind off of what you need to be doing and get your mind on what you feel like you have to be doing. And you really need to be praying, seeking God. That stuff will still be there when you get up. And it'll probably go quicker and easier if you put God first. Don't guard your mind. No, guard your mind. Don't let the devil in. Bible says, it tells us, well, actually, you should stay away from everything that doesn't affirm that God has answered your prayer. It doesn't support and affirm it. Stay away from it. If you get around negative people and they say, oh, God ain't going to do it, you might all just stay away from them too. They're going to tell you, oh, God's not going to do it for you. You say, well, I don't know that I need you as a friend. You can't affirm what God's word says and stand with me in this crisis, I think I might as well be listening to the devil. He's going, you know, you're going to do me about as much good as he is. I believe I'll find somebody else to run with. You understand? And people, church, we're negative sometime too. Church people are negative. That's a shame, isn't it? I'm trying to teach you four steps. Help you see answered prayer. Philippians 4 and 8 says this. Speaking about guarding our minds and thinking on the right things, it says, and brethren, or he said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Don't think on the negative things. Don't think on the bad things. Don't think about what it might be according to the flesh, but think on what it's going to be according to the Spirit of God and what the Word of God says concerning you. I can guarantee you, Brother Don, can I use you? He wouldn't be as far along on his journey and his fight with cancer if it hadn't been for positive affirmation and believing God was going to take care of him. And still today, he still says that. If it had not been for God, who was on my side, where would I be? God did it. Sure, he had some surgery. And sure, some things hadn't all been up. There's been some down. But he stayed positive through it all. God's going to do it. I'm not receiving what the doctors say. I'm receiving what the Word says. And the Word says I'm healed. So if the Word says I'm healed, I'm healed. I know it's difficult. And a side note to that, there are sicknesses unto death. Okay? You understand that? I preached this a long time ago, but there are some sicknesses you're not going to get well from. That's your mode of transportation to the heavenly. That particular disease. God can stop it, and God can change it. He can. What was it? Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed, and God gave him a few more years. It does happen. But you understand, church, God can do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. But we're not going to never get nothing from God if we don't take these steps and believe God for it. See, people are defeated because of their wrong thinking. Wrong thinking. And they're defeated because they don't think correct. They don't think on things true and honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, things with virtue and things of praise. They think on all the negative and the ugly that's out there. Their minds are consumed by different things on TV, radio, videos. They get off into things that are ungodly, and then they expect God to do things for them. And God don't operate that way. He says, this is what you're to do right here. If you want to see me move, you got to do this. Got to line up with my word. Amen? So we got to do it. We got to cooperate with God in our faith. How many want to do that? I want to cooperate with him, man. I want to see God move this year in this church. When I pray for the sick and you guys pray for the sick, I want to see them recover. I want to see things change in people's lives. I want to be able to affect people's lives and see salvation come into their lives. I want to see things happen. Things happen for God. I just believe God for good things here in this church today. So we have to cooperate with God. We have to guard our mind and develop our faith. And then stand firm in your faith. Don't be swayed by nothing. And if you will, your faith will see you through to victory. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith. But now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. By faith, the elders received a good report, didn't they? By faith, we have people we can talk to that's received good reports over the years. Right here from our church, we've seen different things happen. It's all because of faith. Because people dared to believe God and take him at his word and ask him for what his word said. And they got it. I believe healing is a part of his word. I believe deliverance from demons is a part of his word. It's right there in his word. The Bible says in these things, I have to go over to Matthew and Mark to read it, but you shall pray for the sick and they shall recover. You shall cast out demons. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. That's the word of God. So if God says we can pray for the sick. Got any hicks here? I'm a chief of hicks. Pray for the sick and they'll recover. Cast out demons. It'll be done in the name of Jesus. We've seen it happen. We prayed for the sick and they recovered. We've cast out demons. We know it happens. We know it works because it's the Word of God. Amen? Four steps. Four steps. Be specific on God's promises. You must ask God for what you want. Be positive in your thinking. And guard your mind. Good four steps to seeing prayer answered. I believe it'll work if we'll just work it. Amen? Gotta work it. Amen? Got to work God's plan. If you work God's plan, it'll all work out for you. Amen? Praise the Lamb of God. Well, stand to your feet.